You've tuned into a podcast with me, Anupama Chopra. I do hope you enjoy listening to this conversation. Such a pleasure to have all of you on Film Companion, and big congratulations on Pocha. I loved it. It was so haunting. Really, it just moved me to tears. I was sitting at the end and just watching and weeping, but it's also such an eye-opener because I had no idea that there are wildlife crime fighters. I didn't even know such a thing exists. So thank you for creating this and putting it out into the world. And Richie, I have to start with you. You know, I know that this came from a sliver of footage that you got when you were making India in a Day for Google. But just in terms of DNA, it feels to me also closer to Delhi crime. Just because once again, it's about a few good men and women working in a broken system. So as a storyteller, what keeps you going back to that beat?
Well, I've only gone back to it once.
Right.
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 So I don't know what happens next. But actually, and you kind of given the lineage, because with India in a Day, that changed the way I look at cinema, because it was a document, because it was crowd shot. And I was so moved by the footage Indians were giving me in a very real sense that it changed the way I make things, which then you saw the direct result of that was Delhi Crime. The difference there with Delhi Crime was I was kind of improvising that with my crew, which I never worked with before, that crew. That style of how real can we make it, how real can we make it feel, despite the fact that it's a scripted thing. And then with Poacher, I had the same crew, same head of departments for Delhi Crime, and I said, let's do it for real now. Because we kind of fumbled our way through on Delhi Crime season one, knowing what script was, what it was. This is how I want to try it again. But now we know what we're doing, and I want to push it to a whole new level. Obviously doing it in the forest, in the jungle, with a story no one's ever heard of. Whereas Delhi Crime, everyone had heard of, and we've seen police stories, we've seen Delhi police stories. There was a lot of conventions being played with in Delhi Crime. But I just wanted, and then the animals, I wanted to push it to a whole new level, basically, that style. Who knows if it evolves now.
But as an idea of, and especially women, because I love that you know, Delhi Crime was all about Vartika, the Shefali Shah character, and this, of course, has so much to do with Mala Jogi,
yes,
played by Nimisha, who's just fantastic, and I'm so heartbroken that she can't be here. She's just excellent, and now you have a formidable executive producer as well, another formidable woman.
Yes.
Is that again just a coincidence, or are you instinctively kind of attracted to the idea of heroic women?
I am attracted to that idea because I think generally I just know more heroic women in my life than men. And so I just play the odds.
Love that answer.
But also, this in the case of the reality, because of inspired by the true story, it was actually all men who solved this case across the board. And when I spoke to the Kerala Forest Department about this, I said, where are the women? And they said full range officer status was very uncommon for women until very recently. And so they said, it's kind of a boys club, this wildlife gang that we have. And I said, not anymore. I need, if this helps set the stage and inspire people going forward, then hey, let's go for it. And it's not like you don't see women in incredible leadership positions in that environment too, in Kerala. But I just felt it made sense.
Yeah.
And especially since, you know, the last scene of episode 8, I think there's a communion there.
Absolutely.
Happening.
Absolutely.
Which is very, I wrote it, but then I stood back and watched it happen. And, you know, as we formed the scene, and I think that works much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it does. I remember texting you after I saw Darlings and saying that it's so wonderful that you put your might behind something like this. And I felt exactly the same way when I finished episode 8. I was like, oh my God, how wonderful it is for you to come out here and say, because obviously you will bring the eyeballs to the show. But at what point did you get convinced that this is what you wanted to do? And what did you see that convinced you? The show. the entirety of it?
Yeah.
Actually, I was the first person we discovered to see all 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, post-completion, she was the first human being in the world to watch all 8.
Yeah, and I'm not a part of the crew. But so we were chatting, Dishi and I met, we were talking about everything under the sun.
life, parenting, cinema, movies. And he started taking me through the world of Porch Show. And he had just finished filming. He was in the heart of Post at that time. This is prior to when he premiered at Sundance. So it was there. And I was so intrigued by the fact that it was based on true events. I was so intrigued by the fact that he had gone out, spent about 6 odd weeks in the jungle, totally cut away, right? If I've not been...
No, that was, I mean...
4 months in the jungle.
The shoot, you mean?
The shoot, yeah. The
shoot was five months.
5 months.
Yeah, 5, 6 months.
Yeah. I was so intrigued by all of that. And when he sent me the first two episodes, I was just the way it opens, the way it kind of literally takes you right into the world. And I, end of episode two, I was like, where's episode three? I need to watch it now. Right? And obviously I had to wait a couple of months until I watched the whole thing. But there was nothing that really needed convincing beyond and above point. It was just like, okay, now what do we do next? You know, how do we get it out there? And what's the best impactful, most impactful way? Because this show needs to be watched for what it's talking about, for their fabulous performances. You know, I'll start with Nimisha because she's not here today and we're all really missing her. I'm like her fan for life.
Me too. Me too.
She is
big fan.
So fabulous in this show. In fact, I want to talk about one shot that she's given. And I'm going to say this because it's the end of the show. And you have to get to that shot. And you should, and you will, I'm pretty sure. Because that one shot to me is iconic. Like, she encapsulated everything I had been through, everything I was feeling, everything that I kind of, it just all came together in that one moment. I literally was shaking with tears, like much like you were, but also just complete awe of her performance. Roshan, I mean, we worked together in Darlings, but we were discussing it. I'm like, firstly, the things that happens with his character are just bizarre. I mean, that wedding thing and stuff like that. But he really, like, I really felt his adrenaline.
Yeah.
I felt the, he's actually technically not even a part of the team.
Yeah.
But he just is driven. He's driven by a motor and he can't help it. And I felt every beat of it. And knowing Roshan off camera, knowing that this is him playing the character, I was like, oh, I don't know this person. It was just, I know him as, you know, as the character that he was playing. And Dibyendu sir, I think, is really represents, I think, the staunch mind, might, literally the director of this, you know, of the show. I'm giving too much away. I think I should keep quiet. But I think all their performances, even the supporting cast, I was just blown away. I couldn't stop thinking about it. When we spoke after that, I couldn't stop asking Richie questions. So it really took everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's no question about what, why, how. Just do. Let the world see. Let them live. And yeah.
Here we are.
Let's learn.
And by the way, that last shot of Nimisha, same, I responded the same way that she did. We were shooting it, the funny thing about it is, I remember, so Johan was holding the camera, our camera operator, DOP, and we framed it up, and I was like, oh my God, and she hadn't started the performance yet. And then call to action, she was doing it, and I was just like, it was like blowing you back, what she was doing. And then I remember looking, the lens is touching her nose.
Wow.
He's that close to her while she's doing that performance. It's literally like touching the... And I'm like, I don't know how she's doing this.
Yeah, and that's the best part because Roshan and I were talking about it, and Roshan's like, there's no process of like, she just goes into the shot apparently.
She just switches on.
Really?
Yeah. At least if there's prep, you don't see the prep.
Yeah.
She just switches on. And this shot wasn't even like, you know, a month or two into the shoot.
Yeah.
This was in the first initial.
No, we did it again then.
We
shot that. We shot it once.
Yeah.
And then we were back in that same spot. Like, can I do it again? And she already nailed it the first time. And then she did it again. And it was even a whole new thing. Because I'm like, okay, it's easy. Let's do the shot again. It's your face.
I remember Rishi walking up to me. Like, I was in my van. He walked up to me. We were doing something next. He came in to discuss that. And he looked just like really out of it. And I'd never seen him like that. And he said, you're still processing what you'd seen on the monitor when Nimisha gave that shot.
Yeah.
And he said it was something else entirely.
No, and we all feel it. Yeah.
As viewers, it just, it completely blows you. But I have to ask about this shoot, this 4 months, 5 months in the jungle, because I read that in between takes, there was a safety crew removing leeches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that just creeped me out so much. And both of you are so good in this. How do you perform
thinking that there's something happening down there that I'm not really going to focus on, and I'm just going to keep at. You were never in a leech environment. You must have been.
Yeah. We were in leech
for a few. How do you do it?
I think for me at least, I pretended like it didn't exist. And I do that with a lot of things that shoot. Like, I sometimes pretend that the camera doesn't exist, especially when Johan does this.
Right.
And you're supposed to be looking at something else entirely. But it really didn't bother me in between action and cut. But the moment he yelled cut and you look down and you're expecting to see 10 and you see 20, it was madness. But at the same time, Johan,
you see 20 just latched onto
your leg. No, they climb, right? They're like slinkies.
Yeah.
So they start and then they keep going until they find skin.
Yeah.
They'll just, so during the take, the longer the take, the better chance they're going to find their way in.
Yeah, and also, like, it depends on what you're
wearing. You really suffered for your art.
It was worth it.
It was.
But Johan, a cinematographer, in this particular leech territory, he's shooting wearing shorts.
Yeah.
And there are like 10 dangling off his feet without exaggeration. And he's like, just let them be. When they've had enough, they'll go. And you know,
that's him.
He's not even from, this is like a forest in the state I'm from. He's not even from the country. And you know, I see that happening and I'm like, okay, I can live with this. It's cool. It's fine.
And you see it in the shot that they do have their, like, they have their socks in the shot, right? The characters are this.
Right.
So that the leeches will buy some more time.
Yeah.
But because they are there and that's what the character would do.
Yeah.
The character would throw the socks up.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite scenes was when Divyendu, Neil and Alan are talking about the conflict between family and wildlife. Yeah. And then you say it's all family, right? Yeah. Which is just, it lands, and it's just a throwaway line. It's all family. And it just landed like, oh my God. Like, but then you did this thing where you turn away and you talk about how your wife doesn't even ask you anymore where you are. And that's what hurts the most. And that look in your eyes, I mean, like, oh my God, it was incredible. What do you remember about doing that scene?
Sometimes it happens in life also.
Family doesn't ask about where you are.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes when I'm too much into something and I am indisciplined, of course, I do that in my life. So I fairly have an idea what happens in life, actually, you know, because everything you take from life, so the connection all the time in life also teaches you so many things. And since that Neil Banerjee, see, the one person is maybe he's staunch, he has a zeal to do things in his own way, is very focused, but at the same time, it's a human being also.
Yeah.
So he's a human being also. He also does so many things, and a line also can be shaken.
Yeah.
Sometime, and that you know when he says at the end that I'm not forcing you to cancel your appointment, but if you can, because he doesn't have that right also.
Yeah, he's lost the right.
He lost the right also.
Yeah.
To say something, because he was not there. He was never there when she wanted him to be. And because the same thing that he says, that it's also a family.
Yeah.
So, see, when you have chosen a bigger family to deal with, then
There are sacrifices. Yeah.
And all these little people, they equate these other life forms as important as their family, and there's consequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have consequences for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
For everything.
And I love that line also, because you know, you see, when they go after elephants, when elephants are poached for ivory, it's the male of the family that's shot down, right, for the tusks. And the family remembers. Yeah. You know, here we're talking about human families. The same thing applies there as well.
Yeah.
So whatever you're feeling, if you empathize here, or if there's rage here, if there's sadness here, all of that exists there. It's there as well. So I love the line.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Actually, there are a lot in these throwaway lines that are so poignant and have so much weight and just really stay with you. We should speak about these dialogues and the way how it's so naturally kind of weaved into the storytelling without ever being too preachy.
Exactly.
But also being entertaining, but also leaving something where...
Well, it's so suspenseful. I mean, I was like, oh my God, then what? Then yes. What? You know, yeah, what, yeah. What happened now? Did the damn flight take off or not? Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a right thriller.
It's absolutely a thriller. But Richie, how did you find the visual language for this? You know, that handheld, the blue-green palette, the specific lensing, and that whole interplay throughout of humans and animals, which you know, actually also reminded me of Sean Oxen's All That Breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see that in that, it's such a stunning documentary, and you see that. But here you're constantly reminding us that we're all part of the same, we're all together.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at us, and we're looking at them. How did you arrive at that?
Look, like I said earlier, that I took off from the Delhi Crime style with the same gang, but... the handheld, the thing about the handheld is how immersive can we be without calling attention to itself? I think there's a lot of long takes in this, very long takes, that conversation and the phone in episode 8 that Neil has in the hallway. You know, there's...
Up and down,
That's 7 minutes long.
Wow.
Oh, God.
And that's all dialogue. But we're talking as film people, and I don't think an audience is going to notice.
No.
They're not going to notice that.
I did. Like, I didn't think about,
didn't think
wow.
About it, right?
No, I didn't think
that's
about it.
That's the point.
Yeah.
The point. So we do it in a manner where you're in it. You're completely immersed in it. So I'm trying to make the style immersive so that what we are talking about is the content rather than the style. But we're obviously film insiders.
Yeah.
But for example, the Animal Kingdom, like, I don't use tracks and dollies and grains and all that stuff, except for them. So I shot them like you would shoot cinema. So there are dollies and tracks laid only for them in those shots. The first shot of the elephant is on a, we're doing it on a dolly.
Yeah.
And then everything that's on human is completely unhinged because that's where the uncertainty lies,
right.
The predictability to the animal behavior. The blue-greenness, you know, we wanted to, the jungle is cinematically always inviting, cinematically. But we wanted to create a coldness to it to make it look like this is a very, this is the jungle. This is not a place that's friendly for human beings.
Yeah.
But all life finds its way within that. And then we almost took a little bit of Delhi Crime style to put it on Delhi when we got there, as if these forest people are now inserting themselves into this asphalt jungle where Delhi Crime type things happen. And that's kind of how we shot that. They're entering, that's why first thing we're at a police station. We're back in that world.
Yeah.
Same actor, Asif.
Yeah.
Other I used. He was in Delhi Crime. I'm like, you're entering the world of Delhi Crime now.
Yeah.
You know, so to speak. But it's all about immersion. I'm just, Johan and I, and even our editors and the composer, we're just trying to immerse you so that you don't think about style. You are so immersed in content. So these throwaway lines actually leave an impact because you're not immersed in the craft of it.
Yeah.
I absolutely. Think
the best technical wizardry is the invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, even in Delhi, there's that, again, it's a character that's almost, like, two new characters, officers that are helping them out on this journey that they've entered at the tail end of the show, but you're connected to their reason also to be connected to this.
Yeah.
So, like, everything, everybody's motivation is very clear.
Yeah.
You feel it. You're not thinking about it. You're just naturally feeling it.
Yeah.
And even these drivers at the end.
Yeah.
They're in episode 8.
Yeah.
And they're kind of not bothered.
Yeah.
They're just like, this is better than my day job. I kind of like you guys. So, chalo karte. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Alia, and then this is something I haven't really ever found an answer for. But do you feel that it's an artist's responsibility to put out the right messaging into the world or highlight it as you are doing here? Or is an artist's responsibility only to his or her art?
Now see, and a creator is also an artist.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
But I feel actors should do what they are connecting with at that point. And they could be connecting with it for whatever reason. Now tomorrow, an actor may go out there and play a not so... straight up character, but that's what they're connecting with at that point, and maybe they're doing it for that particular reason. I, for example, when I chose a film like Darlings to do and stuff, I didn't connect with the character as much as connected with the character dynamics.
Well,
you know, so it was not about the character, it was about the dynamics, it was about what they were talking about. Of course, the overarching message which came with entertainment, right? I think in general, as artists, we have a responsibility first to what our voices, don't cheat that voice is the most important thing, because if you're authentic to what your voice is, it will connect, it will find its audience. But if you try and manipulate your voice because you want a certain reaction, the audience will never connect with that. So the responsibility is first to yourself, and if it connects, it connects. If it doesn't, then, oh, sorry, that voice needs to be changed. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
But also, can you ask your question one more time?
Do artists have, like, is there, you know, Gulzar Sahab said this in an interview, a samaji shahuri, a social consciousness. Is that required for artists? Or can you just, you know, be about the art?
So I think it's required for a human being. Everyone. I think it's required for everyone, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, as people, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
As people,
of course.
As people first.
Sure.
And then from, you know, thereafter, live how you're going to live. The fact is, even the characters in this show are driven by their conscience and crossing all kinds of ethical lines.
Yeah.
Which other people around them would say, yeah, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's the way, even talking about poacher, for example, the way you're showing the life of the ones that are chasing the poacher and the lives of the poacher.
Yeah.
Your truth in all departments is truth. Like, it's subjective to the circumstances and how you interpret them as to where the ethics lie. Of course, yeah, they are crossing the ethics, but there's possibly a circumstance that's, yeah, you know, taking them there.
Yeah.
So I think, like I said, because when you say artist, it's difficult because it's the way, it's what you're trying to put out there, what you're trying to make the viewer feel. That responsibility, I think every artist needs to have.
Artists, tell you, at the end of the day, we are communicators. We communicate through our art forms. So we need to have a conscience.
Yeah.
I think the...
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and we may not be an activist, but... Yeah.
Sure.
But
well, thank you. And again, congratulations. Just loved it. And I hope everybody watches.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Film Companion podcast. Stay tuned for more reviews, interviews, and all that's hot and happening in pop culture and entertainment.